你，却哭不拉高的不敢没有了你，不如该呀卡巴你都露。
4, 3, 2, 1
Pampayo, how you doing? Are you good? I'm good. Welcome to another episode of Tiger Belly. Listen, we have a guest today, but he's about 45 minutes late. His name is Nick Rutherford. And he, a couple of days ago, he's like, oh, dude, I'm promoting a movie and I really need help because there's no publicity. I bumped a couple of people to get him on. And now we're sitting here waiting for him. I love him. You know, he doesn't know we're starting without him. And when we get here, when he gets here, we're going to pretend that we haven't started yet.
Okay.
So there's everything's good. But there's repercussions. Yeah. There's repercussions, okay? Mm-hmm. First of all, this dude, Nick Rutherford, has cheeks.
What does that mean?
He's got like really like...
A big
butt? That's what he's got like beaver cheeks on his face.
On his face?
Oh. Yeah, he's got a cheeky kind of
face.
Talking
about ass cheeks.
Yeah.
No, not his ass. I've never seen his ass. And then also on top of it, he's got Brady Bunch hair.
True.
Yeah, it's so like curly, yeah. Like Brady Bunch hair, you know?
That's Brady Bunch
and
hair?
He's, yeah, and he's got wild eyes. He used to live with Jade Catapretta for years. Yep. I thought they were going to get married.
Were they together for like 8 years?
I know.
It was a while.
And then I think he broke her. I think he broke her heart, but I don't want to get into that with him. But these are just my opinions now. His movie's going to be great, by the way. He's a good actor. He's a good actor, and he's also...
You're not going to ask him how he broke one of your best friends?
Yeah, I'm going to ask him, but then he also was a writer at SNL for a year. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then something happened. I don't know what happened. I'm going to have to ask him about that.
Yeah. His castmate. I mean, his...
Well, what happened was he had a group called...
Good Neighbor.
Good...
I'm sorry, I'm a big fan. I'm just a really big fan of them, sorry.
Yeah, but I was going to say Good Neighbor. Like, I don't know what the fuck it is.
5555.
Right? So anyway, he had a sketch group called Good Neighbor.
Good Neighbor.
And what happened was, I think there was four dudes on the sketch group, correct?
Three.
There's three dudes in the sketch group.
There's
a fourth, like, camera guy, yeah.
He's a director, yeah.
But three dudes... But how many got hired for SNL?
Two.
Three of them.
Oh.
The director, too.
Talking about the actors.
Yeah. So, just listen.
Nick got hired as a writer, so you can't discount.
No, but what happened was those three got hired first. Mm-hmm. Nick auditioned, didn't get it. And then remember, he was suicidal.
Why didn't you wait for him to tell his own story?
No, I want to say it now, and then when he comes here, I want to
pretend.
Oh,
then we can compare stories.
Oh, yeah. I want to compare stories.
I want Bobby's point of view.
Yeah, my point of view.
How he says it.
And then what happened was... Then they hire him as a writer. I guess they felt bad. And then he got on it, and then he disappeared. But my point is though, that I don't know those other guys, but I know Nick, and I think that he is special, and I think he's a very talented guy. And that's why, you know, he was supposed to be here. But and also, on top of it, like, I want to also say that Michael's Bisbing was here on time.
Yep.
Early.
Jordan Peele was here on time. Eric Stonestreet was here on time. Is
Tim
he here?
Mullins.
Yep.
All right, so he's going to park in the garage?
I'm going to see.
Hey. When are we going to see fucking
George?
fucking
you know what the funny thing is? Mm. George is the one that told Nick to show up late.
To show up what? How late, though?
Not that late.
No, I told George to tell Nick to get here exactly on time and not early.
Oh, not
because
early.
Bobby and I were still bonding. All right,
so here's another thing before he gets in here.
Yeah.
You know, I know Nick. You know, he's a friend. I've done some gigs with him. He's a nice guy. I don't know what he's like on podcasts, but I think he's cute. And I think that he is a funny... I think he's legitimate. Mm-hmm. So let's just try to be, you know, our resentment toward him being late, let's not let that be a thing.
Don't interfere.
I don't even want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to allude to the fact that he's late.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and I'm just going to pretend we haven't even started.
I don't think you can help yourself.
Oh, I can help myself. I'm helping myself now as we speak.
So you're just going to carry on as if he's on time?
Yeah.
And you're not going to ever bring it up and say, hey, dude, where were you?
No, I'm gonna skirt around the fact.
Oh, you're, you
but
can't
he's
help
never
yourself.
Gonna, but he's never going to know.
He'll never know.
Oh, watch this. Bobby
oh, you
want to
see fucking trickery, ooh, mind trickery?
I feel like
and wordplay?
How much do you put on that?
I know wordplay, babe.
$20.
$20.
$20.
All right.
He can't help himself.
He's not going to help myself. Yeah, so he's gonna park in the garage. I thought that Patreon we did at that Korean mall.
Oh yeah,
was kind of fun.
A lot of people loved it.
Did you put it out already?
Yeah, we put it out. We put the whole hour.
You did the whole hour out there?
Yeah.
People liked it?
They loved
it. In what way?
They said that they liked that it gave us other stuff to talk about and like kind of the environment, making fun of all the Koreans wearing the puffy jackets. They didn't know about like that whole culture.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a culture. When is Cheeks going to get here, man?
Have you guys seen Abducted in Plain Sight yet on Netflix?
Mm-mm. Oh, God, that was a crazy one. Very also, disturbing. Nick was on a TV show. I saw a billboard with him maybe a month ago of some sort of like science show on Sci-Fi or something.
Oh.
It was just his face on a gigantic billboard. I think he had a black eye maybe. But I'm going to ask him about that. But this guy's in cahoots with a lot of cool people. And I'm just wondering to see where his head is at, you know? I want to know where his head is at. Also,
you got to forgive him, though. People, LA people in the rain don't know.
Oh, it is raining, is it not?
Yeah, there's a squall outside.
What's that song? What's that song? Blame It on the rain.
Milli Vanilli.
Milli Vanilli. Yeah.
There's, do you remember the other one?
Yeah.
What other song?
Just give me the beginning of it.
Never mind.
Just give me the first couple of words.
Because when you said blame it on the rain, it escaped my head too.
You don't know either.
He got you.
You don't know either. You don't
ever reverse it. We sing it all the time together. And I was right about to say it, and then you sang the blame it on. I'm like, oh, fuck. Does that happen?
Who did that whole joke about, like, did they kill themselves, Milli Vanilli?
One of them did, right? Or is that like a you remember urban legend? Like somebody, used to be somebody jumped.
I heard that one of the guys had jumped off a building, and then while he was up on the building, somebody yelled out, "Are you gonna jump, or are you gonna let somebody else jump for you?" That's a good one. That's an old one. Yeah.
Remember when urban legends used to be a thing, and you couldn't like, you know, cross reference anything, and you would just believe them.
Right, yeah, because urban legends come from something.
Before Google, before truth. Snopes. Now you can look at Snopes and they can just debunk everything.
What is an urban legend offhand?
Like that one, the one urban legend, I'm sure I've told it on the podcast, is when that girl gets like here. Weird bumps in her mouth. Here.
I'm going to pretend I'm not even in the room.
What do I do?
Oh, like casual, like we haven't started at all.
I guess I'll keep trying to fix this because we actually need to fix this. Yeah.
Fix the interference skill. Hi, Nick.
Hey, what's up?
How's it going? What's up, man? Gilbert, Nick.
We met once before at the Ice House.
Kalila,
nice to meet you.
Nick.
Hey, Chris. It's all you, man. You see, we got waters for you. We got coffees. We got all sorts of stuff.
There he is. Okay.
Turn everything on. This feels like a...
You said turn everything on, Bobby?
Turn everything on.
Got it.
This feels a little bit catch a predator.
Rutherford, Bone Town, 64.
Why don't you have a seat?
Sit down. Relax.
Have a seat.
Yeah, so...
I brought my Zimas.
Yeah.
Where's Melody? I was here to meet Melody.
Yeah. I didn't like the way his approach was.
Who?
Chris Hansen.
Mm. Oh. Yeah, that was the big complaint about the show.
Because he would come out of a door...
Not the sexual predator.
Yeah.
You know my problem with that?
That
Chris Hansen.
No, I mean, what he was doing was like, you know, he needed to do what he was doing because he's stopping, you know.
Bad
but
guys.
Just the way he would enter was a little shocking to me. Just out of nowhere, I'm imagine
you want
you're
a
about
soft...
to get, you're like, you're going, oh my God, I got, you know.
You want to soft hand the predators.
Yeah. But
I like that he would swoop in with a clipboard and be like, have a seat.
Yeah. He had paperwork with him, which is like cool.
Oh, yeah, it was always like, you are Star Master 69.
Yeah.
And you said, I want you to taste my cum. And he'd be like, I don't know, man. I'm here just to hang out.
Yeah. She needed a friend. I like that. Sometimes they go, yeah, no, I just wanted to be her friend because she had to protect her from people like me.
You're a 52-year-old man and you want to be friends?
Yeah.
And then you say,
that was good, Chris Hansen, dude. And I go, yeah. Anyway,
Nick, have you seen Abducted in Plain Sight yet?
No, I haven't.
But this isn't how the podcast goes, dude.
We countdown.
How it goes? We do the countdown. You don't say anything.
I can be a part of the countdown, though.
No, you're not a part of anything. You shouldn't say anything.
Can I say three?
No, you don't even have to. No, you can't even do that. All right. So before we start, we're not going to add this stuff. So we're not going to what we said. But, so put that down, man. That's not your fucking. You want one?
What is it?
It's a Ridge wallet. You know what those are? I'll show you.
Seems like a mistake.
No, it's not a mistake. So these are wallets that we all use, and it's got you put your credit cards here as RFID protection. Yeah. And you put your money here. You want one?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, get him one.
You got it.
I'm like, can you get a stack of them?
Nah, it was only a couple.
These are expensive, dude. You got one for free, dude.
Thank you.
We were sponsored by them. They're great. Don't open it now. Okay. Do it later. Yeah.
Should I turn everything on?
Yeah, let's turn everything on. Okay. And then until I say your name, you don't introduce. You don't say anything, okay?
I don't get to say three or four.
No, this is just the rule. Okay? I love you, dude. Thanks for coming.
Hey, man.
Yeah, don't even touch me, dude. Don't even touch with your fucking... You have skinny fingers. Dude, did you lose weight? You look... Anyway, let's go. Let's start.
I've gotten really into Coke.
Go ahead.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Well... Oh, my God. All right, I'm going to pretend that didn't happen.
We could do it again.
I don't want to do it again. Okay, but that put me in a rage. I just got rage. I got to put... Just get your fucking hands away from my shit, dude. Just let's start over.
What are you playing on?
Yeah, Stardew Valley. Go ahead.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Son of a bitch. Welcome to another episode. But Tiger Belly, I'm your... Captain Bob Lee, the magnificent, the translucent,
wow,
the forever one.
Yes,
wow,
I'm a forever one. We got Fuck White. We got Fuck White.
That's
over
new.
Here.
That's new.
That's him.
That's new.
Yeah. Hey, Fuck White. All right, you're a shithead. Remember that, okay? We got his cousin, Fuck White Jr. This one's my favorite one. This one right here is better than this one. New and improved. Right here, Bryce. We got Fat Flat.
What's that?
Yes,
Fat Flat.
Right, we got my girlfriend, Kalila, the princess of all lotus flowers.
Ooh.
We got me, Bob, Captain Bob. Now listen, we've had so many guests on the show. We've had, name me a guest we've had on the show.
Modern Family's Eric Stone Street.
Stone Street did it. Yeah, was he on time?
I think he was 5 minutes early.
Yeah, he was 5 minutes early, correct?
Yeah.
We've had some African-Americans, right?
The director of Get Out.
Get Out, yeah. He was on time, correct?
10 minutes early.
That's great. Now,
this is the biggest guess. The biggest guess you've ever had.
Yeah. You're the biggest, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this next guy coming, I've done, he's here already, but I did a college gig with you. Do you remember that college gig?
Oh, yeah. I drove crazy. I rented a car.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that was a weird gig, but we had fun. We had a meal afterwards, a pizza or something.
Is that the one where they wrote you a letter afterwards?
No, that was a different.
Yes, that was the one.
They wrote me a letter saying, they wrote an article. Did you read that article?
No.
Where I was, they're like, I wasn't good, right?
Basically, they just were furious about me, material because it was too crude, too this, too that. You know, college kids, little baby
too crude.
Ears.
Really?
Yeah. I remember there was an article I read and I was really bummed about it. This next guy also was a writer on SNL. He he was on a billboard a month ago. What was that billboard by the store? It was your face, right? And it was some sci-fi, that sci-fi show.
Yeah,
you did.
DreamCorp LLC.
DreamCorp LLC. What channel was that on?
That's on Adult Swim.
Adult Swim.
Yeah.
And you were, that was a really good thing for you. Just in terms of looking at that was like on the busiest street on Sunset, your fucking big face.
I've never been on a billboard before.
Did it feel weird?
I No. It felt right. You know?
It felt right. Yeah. It always feels right, right?
You've been on billboards, right?
One time. For animal practice.
Yeah, animal
practice. I'm on a show now, but they don't use me for the... What's so funny, Fuck White? Huh? The day I see you on a fucking billboard is the day I die, friend. Okay? It's the day I die. I'm going to say this... You're going to buy a Tiger Belly billboard?
Yeah. I think there was
There
was a GoFundMe started on behalf of your desire to be on a billboard.
I really want to be on a billboard bad. Like, but my own, you know, the way I want to dress.
When we talk about the issues in the world, the one that's at the forefront of my mind is getting you on a billboard.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank
if
you.
If we need a GoFundMe for anything.
Right.
It's more press for about.
Yeah, you have cheeks like a chipmunk. Right, you have you know, I said Brady Bunch hair. Mm-hmm. You know, you're a very funny young man, and you called me the other day because you're promoting something.
I'm glad you did the research.
Well, you sent me, you fucking texted me.
I texted you, I emailed you.
No, I didn't get the email, but you texted me a photo of a new movie that you're in.
Yeah.
And it looks great.
It's very good.
Yeah. And what is the movie called?
It's called The Unicorn.
That's right, The Unicorn.
Yeah.
Right, that's the horse with the thing in the head.
I was just in your bathroom. You have a drawing of
that's
unicorns.
Right, I do. I love them.
Yeah.
I really love unicorns.
It's all about unicorns.
No, but there's really no unicorn on the poster, though.
I don't know how closely you looked at the poster. There yeah. definitely is a unicorn.
There is? Are you being real?
You may have missed it because it's neon pink and it envelops everybody on the poster.
Right.
Yeah.
All I saw was six white heads of people, actors.
Okay,
maybe
here we
four
go.
Or five. No, I'm not being... That's what I saw. I never saw
I'm
a unicorn.
I'm Mexican.
But, oh, that's what you are.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. That's
so you saw are. Five white guys.
Yeah. So this movie, when does it come out?
It came out this weekend. It's done. When does this go up?
Tomorrow night.
Okay, tomorrow's perfect because now it's on iTunes and Amazon.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, Tuesday.
So we can watch
5th.
It immediately.
You can watch it right now.
Right.
Yeah.
The Unicorn. What is it about?
It's about me and Lauren Lapkus is my fiance.
I
do
love
you know
her.
Lauren?
Oh,
she's very
her.
Very funny. And we are kind of bored and boring people. And we spend one night in Palm Springs. We kind of find out that her parents, who are very much in love, have threesomes.
Oh.
Yeah. And so we're like, fuck, should we be doing that?
Oh, yeah.
So everybody's rock hard in the room right now.
Have you been in a threesome?
I've never been in a threesome.
You've never?
No.
Hey, raise your hand, anyone in the room that's been in a threesome.
Did you just ask that question
Bryce.
So you could raise your hand?
Yeah.
Bryce.
You were in a threesome? Who are you threesoming with? Who's the third person?
Wait, who's the second person?
Clearly, George, clearly. George.
Is he in
George?
There?
Wait, you guys really cousins or no?
Yeah, they are cousins, yeah.
Of course, George has his cousin working on this.
Yeah. So you were in a threesome with, was it two dudes and one girl?
Two girls?
I can see that. Look at the way he's
Because my
confident.
Threesome has been with two guys.
Every time.
Two other guys?
Yeah.
Three guys together.
No. I did a fivesome
okay.
with three guys and two girls.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't
sound fun.
It's not fun at all. I could tell you that story. And then I did a threesome with a guy named Michael Burton and another comedian, a female comedian. And I forgot her. I know her name, but I'm not going to say it because it's a little.
You forgot it.
I forgot.
You forgot it.
But that was
because it's my ex-girlfriend.
No. You mean Jade?
I do mean Jade. Yeah.
Yeah. No. It wasn't Jade. What happened between you two?
Oh God, this is like minute two.
No, wait. First of all, Nick, can I just say this? In my podcast, right? I love you, bro. And that's. Let me say something right now. There are people that want to be on this podcast. Like we have a list of so many fucking people that want to do it. People give me shit about it all the time. I bumped people for you to get on.
Thank you. I really
So what I'm saying
it.
To you right now
I'm
is
a
that
fan of the
this
podcast.
Is the way I do it. I'm going to ask you questions about things that you might not want to talk about. If you don't like
that's
something
fine.
At the end,
no, we can.
Nick, we could cut it out.
No, it's fine. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Right. Because she's done ours twice, right?
Your ex-girlfriend. You had Jade twice.
Yeah.
Because what movie was she done. Promoting?
No movie. No movie. Yeah. But did it end terribly or?
I think it saw the natural end. We were not making each other happy.
Right.
We had so many built up resentments and we were better off.
Right.
But, yeah.
But you guys still talk or no?
We talk a little. We talk a little bit because we have this apartment in New York that we just rent. But that we Airbnb. So there's always the conversations are about like, oh, did you call the maid or should we let this guy book the apartment?
Right.
Things like that.
Well,
so it's
right,
all
right.
very
business-y.
Surface level.
Being yeah, yeah. Busy. Because I honestly thought, and that we're going to brush upon it. We're going to move on to the next thing.
We can get into it, but I don't
want to get into it.
I don't want
to. Because you both are family and I don't even know.
I don't want to get into it
right,
because
right.
of that.
Yeah. But we're all family. And there's no sides of being taken here. We love everyone, but I always thought that you two we're going to be forever.
Well, you have a terrible instinct.
I do?
Yeah. Terrible.
Terrible instinct, yeah.
You can't read every room at all. Oh, I mean, I thought so too. We were together for like 8 years or 7 years.
Right. Yeah. You guys got a house together. Who has the house?
It's my house.
Right. So she lives somewhere else.
I don't care where she lives.
Yeah.
She lives somewhere else. She's comfortable and happy. And I wish her the best.
Yeah, I wish her the best too.
You were friends. You see her all the time. You see her way more than I see you.
I do see her a lot. I don't see you that often.
I haven't seen you since we broke up.
It is true, right?
Yeah.
That's weird.
I know.
Yeah, because I always, you know... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, because you always gave me great advice about her. And the one thing was you said, don't take away Wolverine's claws. Do you remember this? Because I'm a very jealous human.
Yeah.
And she's a very magnanimous.
Yeah.
George?
Magnanimous.
Doesn't matter. We make up words here all the time. And put that down. That's
magnanimous.
Magnanimous person.
Yeah.
And she commands a lot of attention. And like, I'm a very small... petty little worm.
Yeah.
And so I was always like, why is she talking to somebody else and not me? And you were like, don't take away Wolverine's claws. You told me this at that Italian restaurant
after the college gig. Yeah. I remember that. Mm-hmm. I remember us just, you and I were the only ones there sitting there after this gig.
Oh, yeah.
That
we set
did.
A photo.
Yeah. And we set up a photo. And I just remember just eating with you, and that was a memorable. I don't know why.
Oh, it meant a lot to me too.
No, I'm being real.
No, I am too.
Yeah. Because
I actually remember that photo. Was it in Jersey or something like that?
Yeah, it was somewhere or it's North Carolina. One of those.
No, it wasn't North. I remember.
No, it was Jersey.
It was Jersey.
I drove from New York.
That's right. Yes. It was New Jersey.
I got like a go kart.
Yeah. And this is when you were you on SNL then?
I was writing on SNL.
You were writing on SNL, and then I remember meeting you there at the gig, and we had that weird. Pizza, but I don't know why there's different, you know, things. I've done so many things, but I just remember that moment distinctly. Here's another moment. I remember when, before you guys dated, you and Jade, and being in Vegas with Jade and her talking about you. Oh my God, this guy, Nick Rutherford. And just I just remember that distinctly as well, you know.
Well, what do you want? Is she going to show up in a minute?
No. We're going to move on from it, Nikki.
Jade, come out. Yeah. Come out right now.
We're going to move on from it, Nikki.
Okay, fine. I mean, I never want to take advantage of a situation or take advantage of a human, and so I just don't want anybody to be the butt of the joke.
Yeah, and we're not doing that. I just wanted to, because we all know each other, and because this is the kind of podcast that I run, we talk about personal things. We if you don't like what we're saying, we'll always cut it out for you. But I don't think
I don't think so either.
We need to do that really right now.
I don't think so either. I am not in love with Jade. I will always be. I will always love Jade.
Good.
I think she's a great human,
yeah.
And she's insanely funny and talented.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds very. Political, but we weren't working out anymore.
Right. Okay,
yeah.
We touched upon it. Now we can fucking move on from it, and we'll never talk about it again. Okay, friend.
Okay. Right? Yeah.
Here's another thing I wanted to talk about before we go into other things. Uh-huh. Okay. Is I just want to know how long you were at SNL, and then why did you leave and all that kind of stuff.
I was at SNL for a year.
Yeah.
1 year, one full season. 40 episodes.
Yeah.
And I left because they fired me. And they didn't want me around there anymore.
Nice Bobby.
Well, that's uncomfortable.
No, it's not uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I liked my time there, and we weren't making each other happy anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I remember you telling me stories, though, about how cool it was. Like, you were like, oh my God, Jim Carrey was here, and we, you know, all these people that you were like, that would come into the office and you guys would write things. And I just remember feeling your excitement about it. And then in my head, you know, and I'll just be honest with you, you know, I thought that you were being treated poorly there. I think that number one, right, if you're going to hire Good Neighbor, hire everybody. Okay.
Yeah.
Number two, didn't you start Good Neighbor?
We all started Good Neighbor.
You
can't take credit.
You started.
I started Good Neighbor.
what?
All right. But well, and also on top of it, I'm going to say that, you know, I honestly view you as a legitimate comedy entity. I think that you're very talented and funny, and you have this, you're a very nice guy, but there's an edge.
Fuck you.
Yeah, there we go. There's an edge about you. That, yeah. You know? And, but let me say this too. Since you've got left, you've been killing it.
Thank you. I agree with you. I don't, I'm killing it, and yeah, yeah. No, I don't think it's like it wasn't a match. It didn't work,
right.
And it was fucked. I mean, we talked. You were, and I don't know if you how much you know this, but like at the time, like Jade was opening for you, and yeah. So I would like maybe host or something or get a guest spot,
right?
So there was a lot of like Long Beach sets where I would come with you, and I was in the middle of it, like right. Probably before I got hired. And my like comedy team had been swept underneath me and like taken away, and I got left out, and I was fucking wrecked by it. I was really wrecked. Yeah, and you were really, really smart and nice to me. Do you remember any of this?
I 100%. That's why I'm saying it right now, because I remember you being, to me, even hearing about it, it devastated me because I liked you so much, and I'm like, this, you know, it just doesn't make any really sense. And then all to see you in that state must have been so fucking weird and difficult. I can't even deal. But you know what? That's what, at the end of the day, dude, it's like Jeff Richards. Not that I'm clumping you with Jeff Richards, but there's a guy named Jeff Richards. He was on Mad TV mm-hmm. for 7 episodes. He's a good friend of mine. He got let go. Then he did SNL for a couple years. He got let go. And then he spent 10 years
getting over it,
trying to get back into, you know, getting reps and trying to get back into the business because he was just so devastated by it. But now I see Jeff on the road now. He's getting booked. He's getting some social media following, and he didn't quit. Like he's persevering, and he had some really fucked up, difficult times, you know? Not that you went through that, but when I see you, you know, like on the bill, when I was driving down the street, I'm imagine. And looking at you, after all the things I know that you went through, it makes me feel, I'm being real, no, I'm about to cry almost.
I know.
It makes me feel like, oh, I'm not going to quit, you know?
You can't quit. Quitting is, that's when you lose.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
There's been a lot of people who have been like, man, you just got kicked in the dick over and over again.
Yeah,
and it's like, yeah, but this is what I do. I just get kicked in the dick, and then
yeah,
I'm really good at getting kicked in the dick.
Yeah, but you're also good about putting your hands on your dick after you got kicked, standing back up,
and looking right into the camera,
in the camera, and going,
"Oh,
kick me
mama."
Again.
That's my thing, right?
Yeah,
everybody knows me. I'm the "Oh, mama" guy.
Yeah, "Oh, mama." But yeah, I think I do. I just think I'm just really happy for you, dude.
Thanks,
and then
man.
When you called me about promoting this movie, I was like,
great.
Fuck,
I hadn't reached out to you for maybe 2 years.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You can put that cap anywhere.
All right, it's on the ground now.
It's fine.
And then I was very nervous because I was like, I know you have a reach and you guys like people and I want people to see this film. So that was really where it came out.
Well,
from.
You know, we.
And I would like to reach out to you in other ways. Like, let's go get pizza in a weird New Jersey.
Here's how you can help me. Mm. Okay. Here's how you can help me one day.
I know. You tell me this all the time.
Right. Is that. And you know, and you know, Papa's had a resurgence in the last couple of years,
which I don't think is warranted. But go on.
Yeah, that burned, but then it didn't.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
it burned a bit, and then I laughed just as a defense mechanism, uh-huh. And then it's got a little bit of rage, but then it subsided, uh-huh. And I'm happy again. See how that works?
Kicked in the dick.
I got kicked in the dick too. Oh, mama.
Oh, mama.
Oh, mama.
Oh, mama.
Oh,
look at where the camera is.
Oh, mama. Yeah. But you know, I'm on a show now. You know, I got this. I'm getting back into things.
Never
you know,
heard
it's
of
great.
Show.
It's what?
Never heard of the show.
I'm on a sitcom.
What's the sitcom?
It's called Splitting Up Together. It's an ABC show. Me, Jenna Fischer, uh-huh. Oliver. It's fine.
Jenna Fischer, Pam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Who yelled at me the other day? By the way.
Really? Well, don't say this story.
I want to because we made up.
It was definitely warranted.
It was warranted, and I made.
And I feel like
I fucked up. I apologize.
I'm so glad she did this because this is everything I've wanted to say to you for the past 6 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Set the stage.
So this is what happened. So there's this lady that's on our show who guest stars. Her name is Monica Barbaro.
Oh, love her.
Oh, Top Gun.
And she's love on her. The new Top Gun movie. But she plays the love interest of Oliver in the show that I'm on, right? And because of her Top Gun schedule, we had to shoot all her coverage weeks ago on a weekend, right? And then we did all our coverage this week. So we... Monica,
you're acting to like an AD.
Yeah, AD, yeah. Basically, mm-hmm. right? And also in the coverage that we have, I don't say anything. It's just reaction of her talking or her singing a song, whatever, mm-hmm. right? And I'm just going, you know, whatever, you know, that's not what I did, but you know. But in one take, I didn't.
Oh, mama.
Yeah, you look in this camera, you burn the lens.
And I have this habit, and it's not a good habit. And it's funny because I know that people have been annoyed by my behavior in previous, you know, jobs that I've done.
What's the habit?
Is I just, if it's not my coverage, I will say the lines, and I have my lines memorized, mm-hmm. and I'll give you everything. But I also tweet and look at Instagram.
That's not professional, gadgets.
Man. And I play games, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, no, it's not even when it's rolling. It's just like, but in this particular time, I know that there was a three shot on Jen and a bunch of people, mm-hmm. right? And I was off to the side. I know that I wasn't on screen, but you know what I mean? I still had to be there.
Yeah, sure.
So I just started playing this game called Empires and Puzzles, right?
We all know it.
Shout out.
Yeah. It's a great game. So I was going, ching, 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 like, you know what I mean, playing it. Mm-hmm. And then Jenna just goes, Bobby, what the fuck are you doing?
She's not wrong.
I know she's not. And I was so embarrassed. Then that was like the last take. So I got up and I just walked away.
Oh.
And I went to craft service. I just started pacing like, what the fuck are you doing? What did you do? What are you doing, Bobby? You know, I like her. She's so nice. I love working with her. And she did that. And then she got on a bus and she went away somewhere. I couldn't even say anything.
She got on a bus?
You know, the van to go back to change because she had to change. I'm
picturing her holding like old school luggage.
A Greyhound.
Yeah. She's like going to a cabana.
Ta-da! Yeah. And but then the next day I walked up to her and I go, I am so deep. And she's like, oh yeah. And she's like, you just, you know, just don't do that. Like, yeah, I'm not gonna. And she's like, oh, I love you. And then, you know, everything was good.
Yeah.
But that she needed to do. She somebody.
Well, it's very boring. It's like very, very boring to be on a set.
Oh my god.
It's so fucking slow
sometimes.
Yeah. So you got to get into Questions and Kingdoms. What is it?
Conquerors, Empires and Puzzles.
Empires and Puzzles.
Another thing that they do, and I'm not complaining, but
this is what you're going to want to cut out, by the way.
No, I'm not going to cut out. No, I talk about this all the time.
Okay.
I love the show, and I love being on it, and they know that I do, and everyone loves me, and everything's great, and I show up on time, and I know my lines. And blah, 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 blah. Okay? But I'm going to say this, okay? Is that the other day, maybe a month ago, there was a scene late night. We're shooting at night. And my wife on the shows, her name is Lindsay Price. And we're sitting there for hours going, I don't know why we're here. Right? And she's like, yeah, but I think it was just, they haven't told us that we're done. Mm-hmm. And then some guy goes, some guy that is craft service or what, he goes, hey, what are you guys doing here? Your car, because we have a Tesla in the show that, and it's gone from the driveway, which means...
Oh. Your guys are not there.
Yeah, why are we even there at this house? So I went up to the director and I go, this is 3 hours. I go, hey, are we? Me and Lindsay, are we still in that? And he goes, no, what are you doing here?
They didn't wrap you.
Like, yeah, for like hours.
He's like, not after what you pulled with Jenna yesterday.
No, but that was before. So they just do little things like that, you know what I mean?
This shit happened... all the time on Dream Corp too, like you know the Hollywood thing. Hurry up and wait.
Yeah,
you're always on call, and then you basically spend most of your time sitting down, being nervous about fucking something up.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, the whole game.
That's the whole game.
Yeah.
One, I did that. You know that movie that I did with the not the Kardashians, but the Jonaskians, the Australian boys.
Oh yeah.
I did a YouTube movie.
Yeah.
Right, and I got there at 4 p.m., 9 a.m. the next day. I still hadn't shot.
Like that full day passed.
A full day went by.
They didn't tell you? Like,
and at 9 a.m., I kind of, I had slept. I wandered. It was light out. and wander off. I'm like, you know how you sleep for a long time? You go, where am I? What day is it? And I go to the lady and I go, I'm sorry, I fell asleep for like 6 hours, but I got here yesterday at 5. And I go, what's going on?
Who's this lady, by the
way? Yeah, yeah. And she goes, oh, you're not, we're not shooting you now. You, no one told you? Jeez. They moved on to the thing. You know, they're going to get your coverage, you know, whatever. And I'm like, what the fuck? But that's, you know, that's what.
That's YouTube whole- movies, though. Yeah, I didn't catch that one, but
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I am waiting for my Red account to.
Well, don't be mean about it because it's not the unicorn, you fucking asshole.
Hey, my movies are on like Amazon or something. If you heard of that, ring a dink. But it's crazy that you're in a film with, or you're in a show with Jenna Fisher with Pam, because the one of the EPs of Dream Corp is Jim from The Office. Oh, it's John Krasinski.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
And he's awesome.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, he's really rad.
Who's that? I love that movie, The Quiet Place.
Quiet Place, so good.
Oh, Quiet Place is very good.
He wrote it and he starred in it, right? Yeah, yeah. That movie was fucking amazing.
Yeah, it was really, really good.
Did you see Hereditary?
Yes.
Stop. Everyone, stop. Mm-hmm. Everyone, stop. You too. Would you like it? Be honest with me.
I don't know if I know what happened during it.
But did you like the movie when you walked out?
I was very shook.
Me too.
Yeah. I didn't like, I was very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I just saw very similar vibes, I think. Enter the Void. Have you seen that? Don't watch it.
Why?
It's this movie by this guy, Gasp. His first name is Gasper, by the way. Gasper Noé, I think.
Noé. He did the other movie, was it Love?
Yeah, he did some.
Gaspar Noé. Yeah,
some of his stuff is like normal, palatable stuff, and other stuff is like this movie is like about a guy who dies while tripping on DMT.
Oh,
wow! And he's tripping through like Tokyo, basically like watching his existence, and like he's like a spirit rolling through. So he sees his sister and the shit she's going through, and like it's fucking gnarly. It doesn't ever let up, and you're like, what else, what else can we have? And then it's like, oh, here's a live abortion that we're gonna show you. Wow. I swear to God. Wow. It's not even that none of this is funny. And then it ends.
Well, usually live abortions are funny, but
not this one, not the way they shot it. And then
you have to actually be there live.
There's no color.
Not on tape.
There was no color guy. And then it ends with you're in a vagina. And
yes,
a penis is coming at you. So you're in like
There's
literally a penis head coming at you.
Yeah.
And then it's like, please don't come on me. And then it comes on you.
No, and they show cum?
Yeah. Oh, you're bathed in it by the end.
As a viewer, you're bathed in cum.
Saw it in 4D.
Had just guys standing in front of you jerk off.
It was me, but yeah, somebody, I was standing though. That's what you're asking.
Wow. So you wouldn't recommend that?
It's really, it's a
like
real
that's
rough
right up
watch.
Our alley.
Yeah, that's.
It's also 2 hours and like 30 minutes. It's like way too long. Yeah. It's very. There's no. They don't let you up. And that was the same with Hereditary. It's just like, please let me out of this movie.
Yeah.
And then like that when she's sawing off. Can we say spoilers?
Yeah, you can do it. Yeah. It's been
awful. She's sawing off her fucking own neck.
Yeah.
That is so gnarly.
So gnarly, yeah. I found that movie to be, and people say it's a piece of shit, this and that.
Who says it's a piece of shit?
Oh, people all the time. I've had comics go, oh, I walked out, or I hated that movie. Or I'm like, I saw it 3 times in the theater. That's how much I love that movie.
I liked it. I like that type of stuff.
Yeah,
but it's not, I wouldn't.
It's not a feel good.
Yeah, it's not a feel good movie.
It is.
And I don't need it to be a feel good movie. But
yeah.
That's like Requiem for a Dream. I could only watch it once,
Requiem
but then
so
you relive
yeah.
it over and over in your head.
All I remember is Marlon Wayans' ass.
Oh.
His naked ass on the bed. That's the only thing I remember of it.
Oh, yeah. The chopped off arm.
I
remember.
Off arm, yeah.
But
the
also Marlon Wayans' ass.
I don't remember that.
He was naked. He was naked.
Or just even.
Marlon, do you want to talk
about ass?
I think he's ass.
Yeah. Marlon Wayans.
Because we're like moving on to this.
No, I don't want to. I want to talk about his ass.
He's getting.
I have to say, in that movie, and I've told him this before, good ass. Like in terms of no, I'm being real. I mean,
this is a roundabout way to get to Marlon Wayans' ass. To open up with Hereditary and
yeah, that's what I did. That's what
because
I knew she was going to bring up Requiem.
All I wanted to talk about all day
was is Marlon Wayans'
you know
ass.
That, you know that reminds me of Marlon Wayans' ass. What a great ass.
Good threading, man.
Yeah,
I don't remember. Is he also doing something that he doesn't want to do because of drugs?
What do you mean?
Probably.
Yeah. No, I don't remember him being.
They all were, right?
I think they all were. Yeah.
But the most disturbing part was the mom.
Oh, the mom.
What's her name again?
Ellen Burstyn.
Oh my god.
Oh, she's great.
She's great in that.
Yeah. When she's like, it's almost like a security camera, and she's like in her kitchen, like moving shit around,
and just obsessing over that one show over and over again.
Oh, fuck. And that the show starts talking to her. Yeah, the baby on the ceiling.
If you haven't seen it, hey guys, if you haven't seen it, it's a must watch at least one time. It's Aronofsky, right? That he did Black Swan.
He did.
He did
The Wrestler. Did you do The Wrestler?
The Wrestler. Wrestler.
Did he do The Wrestler or no? With Mickey Rourke. I think he did that as well.
You didn't like Mother.
Oh, you didn't like? Was he? Did you do Mother?
He did Mother. I did like Mother.
You liked Mother? I did too.
Why?
Because I liked that it was like this poem. The whole thing was this like weird poem allegory about women and like how people like you use them up. And
I don't.
You know,
I
walked out of that movie crying.
It's really.
Like, I get it.
Really?
I totally got it.
Well, it's more like art and anyway.
Right.
But I liked it. I mean, I also thought the shots were just crazy, like going from the war to the thing. And then it goes too much, like with the baby.
Yeah,
it's really rough.
I saw one, if you haven't seen it, Nicolas Cage's Mandy.
No, Mandy.
Oh, Mandy's great.
Dude, did you see Mandy Flatface?
Not yet.
Oh, my God.
Flat.
Mandy, dude, have you seen Mandy White?
Yeah. He's one of I told you about it.
I told you about it.
I watched it in theaters. It was out in theaters for a minute.
You saw it in the movie there?
No, I want to.
Oh, yeah. Dude, let me say something about Mandy, dude. Number one, from the beginning of the movie, you're like, okay, this is a complete LSD trip. Just in terms of choice.
The color.
There was also somebody at the color.
Oversaturated.
But there's also somebody that kind of knew what he wanted to make. You could tell that up front. Sometimes you watch a movie and you go, oh, they don't really know what they really want to do. Right? It shifts, you know?
Yeah.
But this guy, right? From beginning, you're like, okay, I'm in good hands because this guy, he knows what he wants to do.
Yeah, he wants to make a statement.
Right, and it's a revenge movie.
Which
I love revenge movies.
You got a hate box.
I have, don't you have a hate box?
I know, you taught me to have a hate box.
I told you that?
Yeah.
What did I say?
This was outside of like the improv.
You remember something?
Oh, I remember, this is when we really started to become friends, I think.
Yeah.
It was before the New York trip, but... We were outside of the like Long Beach Improv or something.
Yeah,
maybe in that like alleyway smoking.
There
cigarettes.
Isn't one, but let's just suppose there isn't.
We're at the Long Beach. Laugh Factory. I don't even think it was Laugh Factory. Oh, it might have been Laugh Factory with the thing.
Yeah, that was the Laugh Factory.
Yeah, with the carousel or
the carousel. Yeah.
And I was in the middle of like figuring out what that meant to not be brought on with all my buddies onto this cool show, and you were just like, just pack them all into a hate box. Close it up, pack them deep inside your heart.
Yeah.
In retrospect, terrible advice. But you
it
were
turns
like,
into cancer.
I've been hurt. Yeah, it turns into disease.
Yeah,
for
I didn't
sure.
tell you that part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was just really, you were very nice and cool, and you got it, and you were like, dude, we all get fucked over, and it's okay. Like that's basically what you were saying. It was like,
but no. I think I'm saying it wrong. It's not a hate box. What it is it's a hate engine.
Oh, it fuels you.
Right. You put the resentments and the hate and all that. You don't lash out on people. You put it in this engine and it motivates you to keep going. Right?
It's like coal. You're the snow piercer.
That's exactly. Wow, that's another good movie and that's a good fucking reference, dude. Yeah, I'm a train. Mm-hmm. Right, and you're basically putting
and you can't
that in
stop. If you stop, you die. So you put.
That's another good one. We should write a book, you and I.
I'm down.
Just like sharks. Yeah.
What?
Certain types of sharks, they can't ever stop moving, or else they'll die.
Yeah, you got to keep going, and every once in a while, you kind of go, why am I doing all this? Even this podcast, I just sit around sometimes.
I wonder that too.
Why is he doing this podcast?
And you go, oh no, I got to keep it going. Mm-hmm. This is all a part of...
Well, it is very much if you're... Like, I feel like I'm a shark. Like, not in the sense that I'm, like, eating things, but, like, if I don't stop working, like, my whole life, my whole identity is based on work. Mm-hmm. From a very young age, like, I just work. And so if I don't work, who am I? Anyway, That sounds like a good time for a commercial break.
Ridge Wallet.
Ridge Wallet. Just on the side, is your brother okay?
Yeah, he's okay. He's okay.
Is that not?
No, he's okay. Okay. Actually, like, if we get out in time, I'm going to go watch him do an improv show in L.A.
Oh, so he's, is he sober?
He's sober. Well, he's clean. He's not sober.
But he, as long as he's doing better,
yeah,
that's the most important thing.
Uh-huh.
And that's another thing that I identified with you with, because I would remember when my brother Steve.
Oh, yeah. How's Steve? Out,
he's doing great. He has his own show that he produces. It's called The Stevie Weeby Show.
Well, he always was an amazing artist. Like,
yeah.
Like I think he had a good outlet.
He has a good outlet, but he's a funny guy. He does.
Oh, he's so sweet.
He's a sweet. You know Steve.
Yeah.
And he's got 10 years sober now. And I'm so proud and happy to be his brother because, you know, he could have ended up dead.
Yeah.
Right? If he just
you could have ended up dead at some point. No,
we
don't
all
talk about
it. If you think about it.
I'm on my way.
No, dude, you look great. Like you're not used to be a little chunkier. No,
you have a yogi's body.
Yeah, you're thin.
I do a lot of yoga.
You look really good right now. And happy almost.
I'm very happy. I'm dating somebody new.
Ooh. Hence the yogi body.
Is she hippie or what?
No, she's not hippie. Well, that's not true. She is reading Osho.
Yeah.
She's a Bhagwanian. No, she's not. She's like a linguist. She's like in like the academia. She's like, she's like,
how do you meet someone like that?
At a party, just a party. Not even interesting story. I was trying to make up a funny version of the reality, but it was just like at a party. At Bhagwan's place. I don't know. He died, right?
You watched that documentary,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. We watched it together, and then recently we traveled together, and we found this book from Osho.
Yeah.
And she was like, I want to read this, and now she's way into it. She's very spiritual, but she's also very intelligent. Like, she's the smartest girl I've ever
heard. But Osho had a lot of great messages. I think in
his
core.
He was okay.
Yeah.
I think Sheila.
Sheila and everyone around. Sheila,
tough,
titties.
Tough titties. Yeah.
Tough titties.
Tough titties.
Yeah.
Super tough titties.
Very tough.
I think she was, like, you know, she was trying to make it a thing, and it was becoming a thing. I also think he's maybe creepy, so I take a little bit of what he says with a grain of salt.
Yeah, he was a really brilliant man with still the Messiah complex.
Yeah,
he loved
being
adored.
Messiah complex is perfect. Yeah, he loved being adored. Mm-hmm. When you see him dancing with the women, it's like,
it's like Rolls Royce.
Yeah,
like rolling up in a Rolls Royce.
Yeah. This guy is not Jesus.
No.
And nobody will be. Can we say a quick prayer?
Do you think I have the ability
to be Bhagwan?
To be that type of figure?
I would say you're on the way, honestly.
I would say.
Do you think I have the ability?
You literally just have to say anything and own it. Like, you just say something and say anything else is...
Because I'll be honest with you. I'm full of shit.
So was he.
I know. But, like, little things that I tell young comics, and people... I have young comics coming to me all the time. Oh, like you just did. Oh, yeah, back in, 2003, you said this to me. Ari Shaffir used to write the things I used to say to him and put it in, like, a poster.
As advice.
And put it on the...
That was his, like... Vision board. With
right. And I do that, right, because I want to pretend that I'm this guy that's been in comedy for so long that I have knowledge. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I don't know nothing.
But I think that it's really, like, Bhagwan's a perfect example of knowing how to relay a message. He was very, like, prophetic in that way, where it's like he commanded your attention, even though what he was saying, like, was probably... equally as profound as the next guy.
Yeah.
But he had an essence about him. He had, like, he just captured your ears in that way. And I think you do, too.
Yeah, that's truly it. And if you have a strong message, that's all people want.
The other day, you convinced us that the reason Asians put their hands behind their back was because they made special belts that hide knives.
And we all believed it.
We believed you.
Just blindly.
You went on a 20-minute, history lesson. We're like, oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, because they were like, why do old Asian men walk like this? Sometimes every once in a while I'll go... this is time for a lie. Let's see if you can do it.
Yeah.
And I said, that back in the day, 1,000 years ago, all Asian men in Korea, especially, they had these belts, right? And they would hide their knives in these two slots behind their back, right?
I'm already believing it, and yeah, I already know it's a lie.
And people would walk like that, and, yeah. and if anyone was walking like that, you knew not to fuck with him because he had these knives in the back of him. And over years of doing it, now just people just do that.
So all the younger Koreans are now genetically predisposed to walking in that way because of the knives.
Yeah,
and I sat there and all, I was like, wow, I didn't know that.
And she's trying to add information like, oh, that's why I squat. Because my ancestors squat.
Maybe that's why the Filipino, it's easy for me to squat.
We're all like freaking out.
And he was like, yeah.
So I can get to the knives quicker. Oh my God, it makes sense.
Yeah,
that's literally what it takes to be a guru. Insane. You just say something
make
with confidence.
Stuff up like that.
Like
yeah.
even Eckhart Tolle, babe. I know we love him.
Yeah,
but the guy's full of shit. Deepak Chopra is a perfect example.
They're all full of shit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll tell you why I know Deepak Chopra is full of shit, and it broke my heart because he had his own center in La Jolla where I lived. And I ran into a couple of waiters, you know, just when I was living down there, and they said, "Oh yeah, he comes to our restaurant and he doesn't tip."
Oh no.
I like that. That's where it takes down.
No,
like,
but
50
honest to me though.
Yeah.
To me is if somebody doesn't tip well, there's a part of there's a selfishness or something about them that's not they're not generous or. You know, they don't get they're so disconnected to the working class. They don't know what it's like. Dude, waiting tables is one of the hardest fucking jobs.
Everybody should have to wait tables.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you used to do it, right?
Oh yeah, for years.
Oh my
years
me
and
too.
Years. Yeah.
Right?
And I kinda do you ever miss it?
No, you mean being slammed?
Yeah, being slammed or coming back from break and somebody's like, table 14, never got their guac and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I love that shit. Like you were like, oh man, like spinning all these plates. I love that.
You are a shark.
Wow.
Or like, I mean, like I know now looking back, it's rose colored glasses. Like that was fun to have like a community and like take your 30-minute break and like have two margaritas at the bar and then like get back into it.
Yeah,
like I'm very much happier now. But like, there's something about it that's very I romanticize struggle. I really romanticize.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
Struggle. Yeah,
like when you have like 12 sections, and table number 8 goes, "Can we get some ketchup?" And then you're out to get ketchup, but then two other tables stop you. Can I get ice? We don't have a spoon, right? Now you have 3 things, right? But then now food is coming for a different table and you can see it on the thing, right? And now you're running around like a fucking madman and it doesn't let up.
It never lets up.
It never lets up, right?
But what we do now, it's hard to define success or not, right?
Right.
But that it's successful if you get them their orange chicken or whatever it was you were serving them.
So what's up?
What's up? Oh, just a random food.
No,
item.
But I'm just saying though, why orange chicken?
Oh, just a first thing came to mind.
Yeah.
So let's say Kung Pao chicken. So
okay.
Yeah, yeah. So you're bringing them General Tso's chicken, right? Okay. I'm just trying to. These are random food items. Stop.
I wanted to listen, and you're laughing a little too hard at that, and I like it. I like what you're doing, but my point is that. The thing is this.
Yeah.
The thing is this. All right. Yep. I served American food. Go ahead.
Where'd you work?
Brockton Villa. It was in La Jolla. It was at a cove.
This is La Jolla, like San Diego, right?
Not in Beijing. Not La Jolla. Is that what you're saying? You fuck not?
Beijing.
I didn't. Okay, now you're getting a little defensive. It's La Jolla, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
can
yeah.
we cut that one?
Cut it in.
Yeah, I served at BJ's Pizzeria.
Oh wow.
Macaroni Grill.
Oh wow. Macaroni.
Busy places.
Yeah, busy places. And then what's that big place in the Beverly Center?
It's CPK?
Like no, it's like the
CPK.
You don't even remember what it was called?
Grand Lux Cafe.
Oh, yeah, you worked
Grand
there?
Lux? Yeah.
Fancy
yeah.
For how long?
Fancy cheesecake.
For like a full year and a half. Like my senior year.
I actually think Grand Lux is okay. I go to the Grand Lux in Vegas inside the Venetian, it's actually pretty good.
It's like a nice cheesecake factory.
Yeah. It's a nice cheesecake factory.
Yeah.
It's better than Cheesecake Factory.
Do you want to know why Grand Lux Cafe exists?
Why?
Because Cheesecake Factory is so popular, but Cheesecake Factory had this contract with wherever it was, like Caesars, I think, that they could not open a second Cheesecake Factory within 10 miles. But they were so popular, so they made a new restaurant concept called Grand Lux Cafe.
It's exactly the same.
It's the same exact thing. Same the menu's huge. Their servings are fucking huge.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And they were like, we're just going to do something slightly different and then be wildly successful too. And Grand Lux Cafe has never closed. It's like a 24-hour restaurant.
Yeah, it's 24
They have fryers that have never, ever been not frying food. since the day they opened.
Sharks. Wow.
Sharks.
Yeah, sharks. Yeah, yeah. Shark talking fire, about sharks.
A guy I went to high school with, Kevin Shule, one day he bragged to me, because he does like, he works at a place where they do walls, that they draw on walls, like mm-hmm. art. Mm-hmm. And he goes, yeah, we did the lines on the Grand Lux Cafe.
Oh, really?
Like the little lines, like mm-hmm. the drawing. Mm-hmm. And I go, I don't give a fuck.
It's very fine work.
It is.
Why would don't you fucking brag about that?
People actually write like articles about the inside of cheesecake factories.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, like that's a
well, maybe
big
I'm,
thing.
I'm missing out then.
It's like a mishmash of everything in like the Renaissance period.
Oh,
they
yeah.
pick
I like
up everything.
That. Yeah, yeah, it's like yeah. just a mashup. Like they get like hand blown glass from Italy. yeah. yeah. They're like really into it. And also when you work there, like you're getting trained by a corporate trainer who's like, this is the best restaurant in the world. so like you're yeah. just buy into it immediately. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're in.
But it's so funny that you waited because I don't see you because I feel like there is an edge to you, like not. I mean, not that you're bitter, but there is an edge to you that I just can't see you waiting tables. Really, did you ever snap?
No, I never snapped. I yeah. waited tables. I delivered pizzas. Like I was service industry guy.
Wow.
Yeah, I was way into it. But there was one. so I had to work at Grand Lux Cafe at the Cheesecake Factory in Beverly Center on New Year's Day. And I didn't know why, obviously did not want to. But it's a very like, it's like high end casual. It's very weird. So you have to press your shirt. So I woke up, I crashed at my buddy's house. I woke up at like 9 a.m. to go do the breakfast shift. And I was fucking hungover. And my buddies were like, didn't have to work. So they're just like ripping bongs and like watching football. And I pressed the shirt. I shaved, had to be shaved. I never shave.
Yeah.
I was like cleanly shaved. I pressed the shirt. Like I brought starch spray. Like I was planning on going to work. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, hit a bowl. And I like kind of, I smoked a little bit of weed and I was like, ah, ha, ha. And they were just like, have fun at work. And I stepped outside and it rained the night before. And I came up with this plan, which is if I just jump into mud, like I'm fully prepared. If I fall into mud and show up to work covered in mud, they're going to send me home. I can't. If I say I'm sick, they're going to be like, you're hungover coming to work or you're fired.
Why?
But if I show up, like I'm here. My shirt is pressed. I'm covered in fucking mud. What do you want to do? Cool. They're going to have to be like, oh my God, we're so sorry. Go home.
Yeah.
So I went outside the house and just dove into mud.
You did it?
Yeah, yeah. It was very funny at the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, it was like, this is God. Perfect.
Did your friends...
Oh, they were loving it. They were loving it. Yeah, yeah. We were like talking about the right angle to go in. And then I'm just like driving to work covered in mud, like just laughing like, I'm the smartest guy in the world. And I show up and the manager goes, holy fuck, what happened to you? What's going on? You're covered in mud. And I said, yeah, I was parking over there and I was running because I was running a little late and I was running and I tripped on this little fence and I fell into mud. And he goes, there's no yards around here.
Oh, shit.
He's like, there's no, like, where did you fall into mud? It's like the middle of Los Angeles. There's no yard.
Yeah,
right.
Concrete.
There's
no, yeah, it's like all the concrete.
Yeah, it's all concrete.
Oh, no.
And I just
kind of
freeze, and I don't know what to say, and he goes, ah, I'm kidding, man, that sucks. And he passed me on the back, and he's like, we'll just give you a busser uniform. You can work in that.
Really?
And I was high and working, but I don't like that at all.
It didn't work.
It didn't work at all.
Oh, damn, no. You know, to me, that doesn't even sound like it would fucking work.
It sounds like it would totally work.
How can you say you can't imagine
if you were hurt? If you were hurt.
I should have limped in.
Right?
Crutches.
That's one thing.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
Dirty clothing, it's like, oh, we'll find something for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You
also, we're in a mall, right?
Go to H&M.
We're in a mall. There's 1,000 clothing. So, I mean, there's just that thought through, you fucking asshole.
I know. Okay, well, I was 38 at the time.
Here's another thing I wanted to say is that there is nothing more satisfying than working at a restaurant, doing a slammed shift, right? And then afterwards, no matter how much you're making tip-wise, when you leave, like I used to smoke cigarettes. And after my shift, I used to go to the Cove after a long fucked up day and just sit there and smoke a cigarette and just thank God it's over. You know, so I worked my ass off to make this $100 right in my pocket.
But that was like $100 like fucking huge.
Huge. Mm-hmm. And how satisfying. I don't feel like that in showbiz.
I know.
Right?
This
Do
is
you?
What I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. I really like romanticize struggle and like you have something in your hand at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And you go to the bar and you're like, hey, here's your tip out, $30. Have a good one. Like, you feel like you're a kingpin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's so amazing. And, yeah. Like, everybody hates their job. Nobody wants to be there. And, like, we all shit on the customers. And, like, you know, you're doing a good, the best job you can. Nobody's, like, spitting in food. Everybody else thinks, like, you spit in food. That never happened. No, never happened.
Well, did, that's not true. He, like, ground cockroaches and put him in someone's coffee.
No. We had a, well, okay. I used to work at a coffee shop.
We used to put
cockroaches in the espresso grinder. And so,
really?
So the beans and the cockroaches would be like, you know, and then you put the hot steam in through the espresso.
Talking
machine.
About Snowpiercer, that's fucking that's a gift.
I'm sorry,
it's a perfect protein.
Yeah, but there isn't, you know. And here's another reason
this is
why:
like, butter coffee. That's what they put in it.
Yeah. Well, why it felt good is because, you know, I'm not lazy. You know, when you do it, no. When I used
gave
to
you
wait
a
tables,
face, Bobby.
When I used to wait tables, and I used to be slammed, and I would sit there on the cove and smoke a cigarette. In my head, it's like you manned up, you showed up, you worked hard, you clocked in, clocked out, and you made this money that you earned. And there is a sense. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, you got
pride.
To the shit.
Yeah. Now, I'm so lazy. You know, and
yeah, you're on set playing video games.
Yeah, yeah. I just, you know, I'll like be on a game like the game I'm playing, and it'll a special offer. You get three knives and, like, you know, a thing for $50. I go, oh, yeah, fuck it.
Yeah.
I'll just buy it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Pam has to pull you aside to be like, come on, man.
Right.
Do you want to be waiting tables somewhere?
Yeah, I know. But you know what? There is you and I are similar in that way. I miss it a little bit.
I do miss. I like the camaraderie that comes with it. Yeah. I like that we're all in the shit. I got to cover your shift because you're gonna cover my shift. Like I like that community. I like a community.
Yeah, but what is it like now? It's none of that right now. You show up, put makeup on your face.
I'm not that. I'm no Bobby Lee. I'm not that big. Like, I still have to, like, work and, like, it, you know, and
fuck you, dude. Let me tell you something.
I mean, there certainly are times when you you're standing up now.
Okay.
It's dangerous.
You're right. Okay. You're right in many ways. I've been blessed. Okay. But I've had some hardships myself.
I know. We both have.
Okay. So I just want. I don't know why I just stood there. Stood up. Should did I say that? But you know, I've had some hardship, and you know, I'm not gonna quit.
I know.
None of us in this room is gonna quit.
Well, you're not going to quit because you used to serve tables and you'd be in the shit and you had three tables that just got sat. They sat you three tables on tall, like, bar tops, and you were like, why the fuck would you send me? I just came off a break, and you still made it work. This is what we do.
Yeah.
We make it work.
I've been thinking about I just had this thought that you and I, one day, we should collect some of our money from this podcast and open up a restaurant.
Oh,
and be slammed.
God.
And be slammed and just feel like, see if we can make it happen.
I've always wanted to open a restaurant.
Yeah.
Like a Filipino breakfast restaurant, because feel like that's what's missing. Popsilog. So, because in the Bay Area, you always have, like, the Popsilog and all of that, but you don't have it here.
Yeah.
No, let's get broad enough.
I always had this dream of doing that. And so I'm actually not kidding. I'm down. But just don't throw all the work on me. I feel like I want to make...
He's the face.
I'm the face of
it. Yeah, okay, good. Of Popsilog?
I'm not going to be like Trejo's tacos.
That's so aggressive.
And donuts, you know what I mean?
That's a little
How many businesses does that fucking guy have? So, Danny Trejo.
Is that place
that guy's
good?
Too hungry.
Uh-uh. I've never been
there. That Trejo's donuts?
No, but I see his tacos. I've never been to any of them.
Everywhere. Yeah.
Are they good?
People go there.
I've had the tacos. They're right.
Yeah. But I love breakfast burritos, as you know.
Bobby's Burritos.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a place that I go. Sometimes, you know, I'll get wrapped early at Warner Brothers.
Toluca Lake Restaurant.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll drive deep into Burbank, and there's a place called the Country Cottage. And it's not a cottage, and there's nothing country about it. It's a fucking hole in the wall.
Oh, nice.
It's a little hole in the wall. It's this Asian man with tattoos on his fingers, right? And then 12 Mexican dudes that are like mid-20s, and they're just making breakfast burritos.
Seems like too many cooks.
Right. No, but they all have... 12? You can tell that they're... Yeah, I'm being real. They're all have this, like, magical, like,
yeah, that's the
routine,
like,
where they're just making... Because everyone wants to eat there, right? I'm telling you right now, my mouth is watering right now. I want to go tomorrow morning.
Have you ever had tacos via Corona?
Yes, I keep telling him, and he will not go because they close at 2 p.m., which is...
Yeah, yeah, they shut down. Wait, they shut down when they run out
of
tortillas.
Atwater.
She's been telling me about this fucking place.
Since I met him, the first day that we went out, I was like,
that's what I thought you were
going to
say. That's the fucking best.
Wait.
The matriarch of the store just died. They said.
Yeah. Oh, no.
They're open, but there's neither morning.
But let me ask you about tacos que Corona.
Yep.
Via Corona and Atwater.
Yeah.
Via Corona.
You're talking, they have breakfast burritos there?
Yes.
That's all they do.
That's all they do.
And it's great?
Yes.
And they're like $3.
Damn.
They're that good. What's in it?
Potatoes, refried beans, egg. And then after that, it's up to you. Nopales, bacon,
nopales?
Steak.
Oh, what is a nopala?
Cactus.
Cactus.
I don't do cactus.
It's so good. Nopales is really good.
It's really good.
Yeah. But, you know, she's been saying that place for years. I've never gone.
I think on our third date.
I want to go tomorrow.
We have to, but
are they closed tomorrow?
You woke up today at 5 p.m.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing, though.
Are you still playing Destiny?
No.
Wait, didn't you play Destiny?
We used to play Destiny.
Dude, that was so fun.
And I remember Jade and I used to just cry together.
No, we played twice.
We played twice.
And he didn't have
like
the good guns.
Well, I played with Steve more than
you. Oh, you did?
Yeah, I didn't have any gear.
You had no gear, right? And we go, right.
And I jump on my little like speeder, and I didn't know how to play. And you were just like, "Yeah, hey, we're going to the Lord of the Internal Moon Base." And I was like, "Fuck, man!
Yeah.
Like, you got a sniper? You know, it would be fine." And then you guys would just kill everybody. I would die multiple times.
But that was fun, though. That those really little fun. Moments of playing was
that
fun.
Was
really
fun.
Right.
Yeah.
But you don't play anymore?
No.
Red Dead or nothing?
I'm into Smash again. I'm into Smash Bros.
Oh, Smash Bros.
This is why I got excited when I saw this.
You don't have Smash Brothers, do you?
I don't have it, but I'm going to tell you something about this device. They're called, what are they called? Switches. And I've been playing Stardew Valley.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a simulation game. She hates it, right?
Stardew Valley?
Yeah.
I actually think it's cute.
It's a farming game, and you have a farm.
Oh.
And it really is.
It's like Farmville.
It's not.
It looks a little bit like Animal Crossing.
A little bit.
Mm.
But it's not just a farming game. All right, there's mines to be explored.
Oh, you can go below the surface.
There's creatures to fight. You have a wife.
You
have children.
To keep happy.
You have a wife right next to you right now.
My beautiful girlfriend, yeah.
You have a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Do you take care of her?
But you know how many times... Thank you, Nick.
Oh, you fucking...
Do you know how well he takes care...
He's going to stand up.
You know how well he takes care of Penny and Haley, his wives, on there?
How do you know their names?
Because you're like, oh God, I gotta go up to Haley because she's all, and I'm like, fucking Haley, I swear. Yeah.
Well, I married the blonde one, Haley.
You hate her.
She's the most ungrateful wife I've ever fucking.
What does she say?
Because Penny's a librarian, right?
Yeah, Penny helps the kid. She babysits kids in the library.
Sure.
And she's got, but
yeah, we know Penny.
Yeah.
Sweet.
But Haley, you know what she does?
What?
Her favorite item, everyone has a favorite item, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Her favorite item is pink cake, right?
Pink cake?
Pink cake.
Oh, pink
like a pancake
cake.
With pink?
No, it's a cake, but it's pink. A pink cake.
Are we talking about the same thing right now?
No, not pussy.
Okay.
I call it that too. I love pink cake. Right, so what Haley does to find her every day is she just sits there by a tree, right? She doesn't do anything. And so I married her. And she
this is the first time you've lit up this whole podcast.
And she says that
so excited.
She says things in it that like
liver.
She says things in it that's like ridiculous. She goes, "Yeah, my sister tried to feed me parsnip soup, and you know I don't like health food."
Haley, like, did she like breakfast burritos? She should take it to Tacos Via Corona.
Yeah. Tacos Via Corona. Do you ever go to Dune next to there too?
I like Dune.
Dune's all
good.
Right.
I like Dune. Fuck you, man.
Dune's all right.
It's okay. It's pretty good, though.
I like Dune.
Dune's okay.
What do you get?
The lamb meatballs? When I ate meat.
Falafel?
This is like
falafel.
The most.
When I ate meat, I get the wrap that you always get.
Yeah.
Right?
The falafel's good.
Same one. The falafel.
Their bread, their pita, whatever that is so good.
So, Nikki, what I wanted to say to you earlier, I forgot to say this, is that I feel
the
like.
The lamb, that's what it is.
Yeah, the lamb meatballs are very good.
I feel like you're going to grow. I think you're going to produce shows. And I'm just letting you know, I'd like to work with you.
Well, that's not going to happen, man. Anyway, thanks for having me.
Okay.
Yeah, man. I emailed you. I don't know if you know your email.
Bealey@bealey.com. Just going to let you know that Craig Ferguson was booked tonight, but we have him tomorrow. We bumped him.
Oh, you bumped him?
Yeah.
That's great. Okay. I'm glad he's still doing comedy.
Oh, you son of a bitch. Now, at the end of our podcast, we do a thing called unhelpful advice. It's an email. People ask questions, and we give them advice. It doesn't have to be helpful. It can be whatever you want.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Gilbert.
Unhelpful advice with Nick Rutherford.
Second City, bro.
This is from... always promoting that school.
Holy shit. Chicago, Second City, okay. Bro.
Yeah. This is from a female listener. We'll call her HB. I have a coworker who I became extremely close friends with. Throughout that time, I made myself emotionally available for her in times of hardship in her life and really made an effort to be as good of a friend as her as I could. When a traumatic event came up in my life, she was nowhere to be found. I let her know that I felt unwanted as a friend, and she expressed that she didn't have the emotional capacity to be there for me in the same way. It just felt unfair. And she completely withdrew from the friendship after that and basically replaced our friendship with another coworker. It's hard because I constantly have to see her at work, and we don't say anything to each other anymore. As the slut king and the Don, what should I do? Love you guys, HB.
That seems like a TLDR for me.
What's a TLDR mean?
Too long.
Yeah, too long. Didn't read. So she had a friendship that was burgeoning, and then it didn't work out.
Friend was not there to help her.
It wasn't. There was no reciprocity.
Yeah.
There was betrayal. That's what I saw. Mm. Mm-hmm. And at the end of every betrayal, there needs to be victory.
So
yes, yeah, so
how does one become victorious?
Well, you have to win. I don't know what the dynamics of your work is. I don't know where she works, but at the end of the day, you have to come up and you have to show this woman that, you know, that it's her loss. Okay.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Right.
I agree with you moving on, in the sense of moving on.
That's not what I'm saying. Revenge.
Okay. Revenge. He wants revenge. He wants John Wick.
My girlfriend is very much smarter than me in a lot of ways. And one of the things she's like, I don't know about you. I imagine we're very similar. And so when somebody, like, you're trying to be friends with somebody and they don't, you're making a lot of weird
faces. I'm trying to listen to what you're saying.
When somebody, like, for me, when somebody, I'm like trying to become friends.
Bobby,
this is not good podcast material. It's really hard to talk when somebody has any pushback of being my friend, because I'm like, I have everything to offer and nothing. Like, I'm just want to be your friend. I'm a good friend.
Yeah.
And if there's any pushback, it makes me want to be their friend more.
Yeah,
it's a weird, like, self-punishing thing.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend has said, like, the best thing you can do is wildly ignore them. And then they will come around. HB, your friend or your ex-friend is dealing with their own insecurities, has nothing to do with you, and it makes you want to win. You want a victory, so you're going to keep on pushing after that friendship. You're going to keep on chasing that friendship. Best thing you can do, move on entirely. Mm. Fucking cold case her immediately, move on.
That's the way.
Boom. And she'll come around.
That was the right one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, dude.
Yeah,
you ignore the fuck out of them.
Yeah, you have to. It's crazy, and I'm not that type of person.
Johnny Sanchez was my guy.
Your best friend?
No, Johnny Sanchez. Back in the '90s, there was a comic, and he was the Dane Cook of the Comedy Store. He was on fire.
The Dane Cook of the Comedy Store.
He really was.
As in, like, the Dane Cook of, like, the Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And he was on fire. And everyone used to, all the young guys, dormant, used to follow him around, you know, want to be his friend. I would call him. He would never call me back. I prayed to God, right, that he would be my best friend. I remember going on my hands and knees, please, God, I love this guy. This guy's the coolest. And then I just one day just said, fuck this. Mm. Fuck. I mean, he's a nice guy. He's a very funny guy. And then I just went the opposite direction. I just started doing my own thing. And then, you know, years later, I helped him get on Mad TV and this and that. But at the end of the day, you know, now I don't chase. I don't even think about him. Well, I see Johnny and I hug him and I love him. But I just, it's like, you know, I completely moved on from it. And now we're friends. I love him. But I don't have that anymore with that guy. It's just, you got to do that.
Yeah, because I think it's really unattractive when someone appears needy of your time, you know, of your affection or whatever. It's just, it seems exhausting. So,
I need to stand for, and I need to say this, an announcement. This is just came to, it just occurred to me. It just occurred to me, and I want to say this into the camera.
Are you standing?
Oh, I don't know why that made me so angry.
I know, I saw your face,
that
bro.
That made me so fucking angry just now.
I thought you were going to jump the fucking
yeah,
table.
I didn't though. That's growth on my part, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Victorious.
All right.
Victorious.
I'm going to pretend that didn't happen. Okay.
All right.
You fucking... Anyway, last night, I was at the Comedy Store, and this boy came up to me, early white guy, 20s white guy. Mm-hmm. He goes, Tiger Belly, I'm here for you. And I go, okay. And he goes, I love you. Okay. He goes, okay. He goes, let's be together. Let's hang out. I'm going, I don't know you. He's like, you don't know, you know me. Like, I don't know you. He goes, I'm Ariana Grande. That's what he said.
What?
He said it was Ariana Grande, right? And
was
I go,
Nick?
And I was there with Ali Wong and a bunch of people. And I just kind of walked away from him. And he started following me around the Comedy Store.
Oh, no.
And then he came up to me. No, but for real, dude, I came here from Minnesota. And I know I'm here for you. I came here for you.
Oh, man.
Right? And so I go, I can get the fuck. And I knew that Fahim Anwar was going to go. We're going to have dinner afterwards. And I didn't want to hang out in the club because he was there. So I was in my car, deep into the parking lot. And I'm just sitting there. I was playing my Stardew Valley.
Empires
and Puzzles. And then I hear,
you're hanging out with Haley.
Haley.
He's fucking at my car now.
In the parking
looking
lot.
At me. It's raining. And he's looking at me through the fucking
thing. Oh, my
he
God.
He goes, let's hang out.
What?
Right. And I go, I don't know you. Right? And he goes, where's Joe Rogan? And I go, he's going to be here sometime this week. He goes, okay. And he just walks away.
What?
Yeah. So now I'm telling people, listen, guys, all right?
Watch out for Ariana.
No, it's not only that. It's just that, you know, I know that I'm the celeb king. I know I'm your leader. And I know that I love you and you love me. And there's a connection that the bond can never be broken. But don't be crazy, too. Mm. Right? Don't kill me. You don't want to puncture fucking holes in my body. I might bleed out. So if you're crazy, relax. We're good. Okay? But the Comedy Store is not a place where you can come and act cray-cray. Is that still a word?
Yeah.
That the kids are using?
It's hot, yeah.
I can't imagine crazy people coming to the Comedy Store and just hanging out.
Right.
That's never happened.
Yeah, it doesn't make any
never
sense.
Happens.
I know. But it really was the first time where I went, oh my God, this guy might kill me.
You fucking made it, man. You gotta...
Is that what it is?
I think so. I mean, yeah, I think that it's a little bit of that.
Because I know female comics that change their name on the lineup because they can't put their name on the lineup. Because they have stalkers.
Women have it much worse than...
Oh, I can't only imagine.
I know.
I mean, Esther Koo, when she was in San Francisco, and I saw three of her stalkers there at the show.
Oh, God.
And she's like, I don't know what to do. They make cakes for me and all this stuff and clothing.
Pink cakes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Don't eat those cakes.
So what's your handles, Nick?
Nicholas Rutherford on Instagram. I think that's really... Twitter's too much now.
I love the name Nicholas. In the Philippines, they would call you Kulas.
Wow.
Kulas?
Kulas.
That's cool. So Kulas Rutherford on Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm changing it.
Give him a round of applause, guys. He was fucking
Thank
wonderful.
You, Thanks,
Watch
Brian.
The unicorn. It's on iTunes. We're going to take a photo. You don't leave yet, okay?
I'm playing with this.
Okay, but take your Ridge wallet. And thank you so much for coming here. I thought you were amazing. We had fun. Hopefully that... You weren't angry about anything that I said.
No.
But this is what it is. We got through it, and it was wonderful. If you think back of all the things we've explored, we explored all kinds of things about ourselves and our friendships. And
we got very personal.
We got surface, and we did all kinds of stuff, you know. And don't mind the fuck whites. They're good. These are good guys.
Good guys.
And that Netflix documentary we saw, what's it called?
Abducted in Plain Sight.
Abducted in Plain Sight. You have to see it because I'm going to say something right now.
Very sad.
It's not just sad. Is that every once in a while, the last thing I'm going to say about it is sometimes white people, they make the wrong choices.
Looking at you, George.
And
especially the ultra-religious.
Ultra-religious white, they think they're, our foundation is Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, we're stable. Yeah. No, you're not.
They feel
you're
almost fucking too safe in
crazy,
their bubble.
Crazy fucking shit.
That blind faith makes you think that pedophiles don't exist.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That it's not a possibility because God protects us and, you know, the entire LDS community.
And then what did I say about, when we were watching that documentary, what did I say about George?
This is what he said about you, George. He said that,
good guy.
Why is it that every time I see George's face, I just deep down think he's a serial killer. What? No, actually, take that back. Not a serial killer, a pedophile. A pedophile.
A pedophile. I
said. I'm going to take off.
Pedophile. I heard pedophile.
There's just something about you, friend.
You have a...
All right, and I don't know what it is.
A pedo vibe.
But hopefully... Hopefully we'll peel the onion, all right, and we will find just a nice guy, right? I'm going to say this to you right now, George, all right? I have my eye on you, and if Kalila and I ever have children, we're going to keep them away from you. All right, so anyway, give Nick Rutherford another round of applause, everybody.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Guys, thanks again to our sponsors, Ridge Wallet, Adam and Eve, and Blue Apron. Begin the year right, 10% off your Slim Sleek front carry wallet. Just go to ridgewallet.com and use the code BELLY. AdamandEve.com is offering 50% off almost any item, plus 10 titillating free gifts for Valentine's Day. Just use the offer code BELLY at checkout. Don't forget to check out this week's menu and get $60 off at blueapron.com/belly. And all big ups to our Real Papayas and Super Sleepers for the premium and the premium episode subscribers to our Patreon. If you want to hear more about the Korean knives thing, go to patreon.com/tigerbelly. Follow us on Instagram @tigerbelly, on Twitter @thetigerbelly, and email us any unhelpful advice questions to thetigerbelly@gmail.com. Have a good night.